And I'm just so appreciative for, I know it's been said several times today, our mothers. And, you know, on the topic of thinking about the church being our mother, I'm so appreciative for the congregation and the truth that is spoken consistently. The truth. I don't know, honestly, I can't think of where I would be outside of Christ. I just can't imagine not having the Word of God. Amen? Okay, I mean, I just think about that, and it's such a privilege. Don't throw that away. Don't throw it away. Psalm 1. let's start in verse 1. Psalm 1:1. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that I get to come up here tonight and to speak words that, you know, really that you have spoken, Father. And I just pray that I can encourage the brethren as they encourage me. I pray we can encourage one another. And I really pray that we can, you know, take things that we learn here and really apply them to our daily life. I just pray for those who are hurting physically and spiritually. And I pray for the brethren who are working through battles and different things, that they are emboldened and strengthened by your Spirit within them, and to really press on and to fight the good fight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go on over to John chapter 7. And in the storyline of David, I'm going to jump off for a second, because we're almost to the end of that. And I spent a ton of time this past week trying to figure out exactly what I want to do with David. And at the end of the day, I was like, I don't really know where I'm going to go with the story, because there's just so much information that is pertinent. But if you really want to know a lot of the stuff that happens, go back and look at it. There's a bunch of family issues. And if there's one thing that resonates very clearly, is that sin does affect your family. Absolutely. It sure does. But I'm going to jump off of that for tonight. And tonight I kind of want to talk about something that I think is really important. And I made reference to it. But the Holy Spirit within us. What is residing in you, Christian? The Holy Spirit. Actually, I had my water. I specifically grabbed the water. And I was going to bring it up there, and I was just going to slurp, because it drives my wife crazy. No, I was going to slurp some of this water, because today I want to talk about rivers of living water. We have rivers of living water within us. John chapter 7, let's start in verse 37. We're going to read 37 through 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, I know that we've got a lot of preaching on this before, but the Christian has the Holy Spirit. And actually, we're going to see that, you know, the example that first came to my mind, that these rivers of living water, was Psalm 1. And, you know, at one of our Bible studies recently, it was at our house, Morgan turned on the TV. She went to it's a smart TV, so she went to YouTube, and she pulled up the, it was a fireplace setting, and it was really relaxing. I was like, that's really nice. But somebody else said, I like the river setting. I just like the sound of the quiet waters. I like the sound of that river, that constant river flowing. Well, what's inside of you, Christian? It's a river. You are in the presence of God. You have rivers of living water within you. I just think that God has so many great ways to communicate who he is and his spirit to us. And one of the ways that he does that is through water. We're talking about John 7. Well, earlier in John, we got John chapter 3. Jesus says he must be born of water and spirit. John chapter 4, with the Samaritan woman, he's talking about a well. And she's like, well, I want some of this water. He's like, if you drink from what the water I got, you will never thirst again. That's some interesting water. John chapter 6, again, he's talking about if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, Christ has this water. But we're going to kind of look at this today, and I got some good verses on this. We're going to talk about the mystery a little bit and how the Gentiles are getting access to this. Raise your hand if you're a Jew. Well, you're a spiritual Jew. Raise your hand if you can physically show you're a Jew by your bloodlines. You can't. And what a blessing that is, because none of us would be here today. None of us would be in Christ unless he extended out to the Gentiles. Amen? Christ is extended out to the Gentiles. So we're in John chapter 7. The 3 points I'm going to bring out from this tonight is rivers of living water out of the innermost being and any man. And these are some older notes that I found that I kind of thought would be really pertinent to look over, because it's been a while since I've heard it, at least preached up front. Let's go on over to Isaiah chapter 35. My grandmother came up from Arizona, and she was so thrilled. This is about a year ago, actually. She was so thrilled, and she said, I can't believe how much water there is everywhere. I can't believe all the rivers everywhere. Which was funny, because a few years previously, she moved from Houston, which is way more, there's way more moisture down there. But again, there's this idea that where there is water, where there is that refreshment, it's very satisfying, right? You go to a barren desert, it's not, you go look at the rivers in Arizona, and it's not too beautiful. Isaiah 35, and this is a prophecy, verses 7 through, let's read 7 through 8. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. If you look down in verse 10, it says, and the ransom of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Let's go on over to Acts chapter 2. When does the Christian receive the Holy Spirit? When does the Christian receive the indwelling Holy Spirit? And I guess I should specify real quick that there's a lot of confusion in the world about the Holy Spirit, when somebody receives the Holy Spirit. And in the topic of David, actually, a lot of people will say the Holy Spirit was in David. David had the indwelling Holy Spirit. Samson had the indwelling Holy Spirit. A lot of these things Was the Holy Spirit with them? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit was definitely present. I mean, we look at John when he was a baby, and the Holy Spirit was definitely present even when he was in his mother's womb from the very get-go. But does that mean that this is a spirit that is right within the innermost being? Well, no. And John chapter 7 actually shows that. John chapter 7, it says that the Spirit had not been yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But Acts chapter 2 is when we get the Holy Spirit, and this is when we're going to receive it in the inner man. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Again, this is probably a lot of stuff that's basic, but it's really important. And I just want to reiterate a lot of this stuff because I think sometimes we can, if we don't constantly study it, we're going to forget it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, these guys were cut to the heart. He says, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." Let's go on over to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Therefore repent." Now remember Acts 2:38. "Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Again, what is that time of refreshing alluding to? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that refreshing. That's the waters, the rivers from the innermost being flowing. I had another example on this. And the thing that I started working out recently more and more consistently. And there's this thing, it's called active recovery. I get some smiles, but a lot of people have this idea that, you know, I'm recovering when I'm just not working out. You know, I'm working out for a while. You know, I work out for 3 days in a row, and then I stop working out for 2 days, and, you know, that's my recovery. I'm recovering. Well, kind of. You know, when you sleep, in a way, that's recovering, right? You're kind of recovering. But actually, as the more I've worked out, the harder that I've, the more I've asked, demanded of my body, and I've worked harder, the more that I've realized I need to actually take time to actively recover. And the way that that looks is stretching, you know. I got, Morgan got me one of those massage guns. Have any of you tried that before? That thing hurts like crazy. I started running a lot more, and right here on the side, it hurts really good. And I got the foam roller. I got a little ball that I step on, and I like try to massage the bottom of my foot. If you want to really put yourself through a lot of unnecessary pain, go get a tennis ball and just stomp on it really hard and just work that foot really good because it hurts really bad. Again, active recovery. Now, how does this relate spiritually? The Lord is actively refreshing you day in and day out. We are actively being refreshed every single day. And we're told to renew our mind daily. Now, just as an example of, you know, just because I'm not working out, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm recovering. You know, you need to be actively, you know, just because I'm not doing bad things doesn't mean that I'm actually growing towards God. Right? It's like, oh, I'm not doing bad things, so I'm growing towards God. No, not that's not how it works. Active recovery. But there is a process that God is actually taking in this, and he is refreshing us day in and day out. Think of the refreshing bar on a phone or a computer. God is completely refreshing us. And this is why we can have we can stand before God in complete confidence, knowing that our God has refreshed us. Times of refreshing. We're not thirsty. The Lord is with us. Let's turn on back to John chapter Actually, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I mentioned that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in us. Again, this is different than baptism with the Holy Spirit. A lot of us know this. There are only two times that the baptism with the Holy Spirit came. Only twice. A lot of us know this, but I just want to reiterate this in case we don't know. Yeah, that's a whole other topic, but we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Actually, let's start in verse 13. Ephesians 3, 13 through 16. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. How are you strengthened, Christian? Where do you really find your strength? Now think about it. Where are you really getting your strength from? Is it from yourself? Is it from something that, you know, there is a lot of confidence that you can gain from working out, but I can tell you that that's not going to take you very far. There is confidence that you can get in learning more and more and, you know, knowing of having all the answers to a lot of different things, but where are you getting your strength from? This is a very simple, basic thing, but I want to just take a step back. Where do you get your strength from? We are strengthened by Christ in the inner man. And how are we going to know that unless we're going back and looking into the Scripture? Christ is what ultimately is refreshing us. Christ is true refreshment. Let's turn over to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, and actually, you know, if you look through a lot of the Old Testament, I think of Isaiah 2 comes right off the top of my head, talks about all the nations. You know, the nations. You know, and then right after Christ had talked to all his disciples, he was raised from the dead, they still didn't get it because, man, even until Acts 10, Peter still did not get that the Gentiles were really a part of this, right? You know, Acts chapter 10, we have Cornelius and the gang, they come in. The Gentiles, that's something that was hidden for a long time. The Gentiles were always preached about, though. At John chapter 7, Christ says, verse 37, he says, if anyone is thirsty, now, who is he talking to in John chapter 4? A Samaritan woman, right? Right? John chapter 7, 37, he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Again, if anyone is thirsty, this sounds like it's starting to open a door. There's something that maybe there was being, they didn't quite get. You know, you think about a parable, and the idea of the parable was that, you know, people could, they could hear and maybe not really hear. You know, they could hear all these great things that Jesus was proclaiming about the kingdom. They heard it, but they didn't really hear it. And thankfully, we have a lot of parables that God, you know, Jesus explains through the scripture, so we can clearly understand what they meant. But Jesus is saying here, if anyone is thirsty, does our bloodline point back to Jewish lineage? Physically, no. If anyone is thirsty. Let's go on over to First Corinthians, chapter 2. And you got to think, because we're going to start talking about the mystery. Why would God hide certain things in past history? Well, think about the devil. He's always had access to the Word of God, right? And he's trying to sort through how he can, thwart the plans of God. He can't do it. Ultimately, God is hiding certain things. And the really miraculous, cool thing about it is that we are a part of it in the new covenant. But we're going to talk about the mystery. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Mr. Toole actually made reference to this earlier. Let's start in verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So, what spirit do we have, Christian? We have the Spirit of God. What words do we have here? The spiritual words. And ultimately, we can look at Ephesians, and it talks about we have the apostles and the prophets, their doctrine, right? Christ is the cornerstone. But let's go on over to Colossians chapter 1. Let's start talking about this mystery. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 25 through 27. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has been now been manifested in to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's turn on over to Romans chapter 8. Let's kind of look at what is Christ in you. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. However, you're not in the spirit, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Again, just pointing that Christ in you is another name for the Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit, Christ in you. Spirit of God, Christ in you. What's the mystery? What was the mystery that's been hidden for all of time? Is that Christ would be in us. That was the mystery for all time, that Christ would be in you. That was something that was hidden. And that goes back to John 7. But let's turn on over to Ephesians chapter 3. Again, you'll get different people that will come up and tell you what the mystery is. A bunch of different things, but this kind of ties in with the promise We know that the promise, what is the promise? Well, the promise is the Holy Spirit. The promise is the Holy Spirit. And that's going to tie in with Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, let's read verses 2 through 6. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. Again, we have that word again. The mystery. As I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, the mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So what is the mystery, to be specific? Christ in you? That the Gentiles are to be fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of what? The promise. What was the promise from Acts 2? The Spirit. So what is the mystery? That you, sitting there, get to have the Holy Spirit. That is a mystery. Isn't that something? Is Christ in you? Is Christ in you, saints? Absolutely. Amen to that. Praise God. Let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 6. Again, I thought this would just be kind of cool to cover again because sometimes maybe it gets forgotten about or just maybe not reiterated. But the promise and the mystery are really cool things. And this is something that in the Old Testament, you'll hear people like Kevin, you'll hear people like Nolan, you'll hear a lot of people come up and say that there's all these prophecies of the Christ, prophecies of the Christ, prophecies of the Christ, you know, and that is, I'm absolutely amazed by that, how God can weave all of that in there. And you know what he has right there alongside with Christ? Prophecies of you. You are right there, his church. Nolan talked about it this morning, I'm pretty sure. Talks about the body, the head. Can you separate the head from the body? Christ. We are Christ to the world. We are the body of Christ. And that was a mystery that was hidden and is now being made, is manifested to the saints. This is really exciting stuff. Again, it's probably something that we all are familiar with, but just think it's good to cover it again. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, which this is a verse that kind of relates to people that are falling away. Again, this anybody who says once saved, always saved, has not read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. But that's not the point I'm going to make. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 says, "For in the case of those who have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit." What was hidden from past ages and generations was that we get to be made partakers. The Gentiles are made partakers of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty cool. And then we come to find out through Scripture that we're spiritual Jerusalem, right? Spiritual Israel. But that's really cool. Let's go on over to Zechariah chapter 14. And we'll read Zechariah chapter 14. Just looking at some stuff in the Old Testament. Zechariah 14, verse 8. "And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and the other half towards the western sea, and it will be summer as well as in winter. Back here in Zechariah, we have a prophecy. In that day, living waters will flow from Jerusalem. Let's actually go on to Ezekiel chapter 47. I even thought about talking about Ezekiel chapter 37. You know, Valley of Dry Bones, right? Dry bones, you think that they need some refreshment? Yeah, probably. But obviously, there's many places we can go to. Ezekiel 47. Okay, he goes out 4,000 cubits. And in verse 3, when the man went out toward the east, Ezekiel 47, verse 3, with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in a river that could not be forded. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down to the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh." Again, this is talking about going into the Dead Sea. But if you go back to Ezekiel 47, verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. So water is coming from the spiritual temple of God, and it's going into the Dead Sea. Again, a prophecy. Where does the Spirit come from? We know how this works, because let's think back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, he says that, you know, rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being, right? But he was talking about the Spirit, John specifies, and that was not to be given until Jesus was glorified. Now, when Jesus was glorified, where does he go? What happens? The Spirit. Which is pretty cool, huh? Jesus is glorified, right hand of God. Spirit now is accessible. Actually, Jesus says to his disciples in John 14 and 16, he talks about it a couple times. He says, "It's to your advantage that I leave you." Because why? He's going to send his Spirit. Christian, you have the Spirit of God. That's pretty exciting, huh? Do we have refreshment? Unlimited refreshment. And we can even look back into the Old Testament, again, from God himself, from the spiritual temple, God is refreshing us continually. It is a river that we cannot ford. It is a river that nothing can dry up. It is something that ultimately was a mystery. It is a mystery. It was hidden. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this opportunity. I get to come up tonight and to preach things again from your word, things that many people have spoken in many different ways, but it still is exciting to think about the fact that we have been given your Spirit. It's a mighty river, rivers of fresh, refreshing water and living water. And just pray that we can really think about that we can find ways to show that to others, to be excited about it, to know that these were things that were hidden in ages past. These are things that we have accessibility that, you know, even John the Immerser, greatest of women, born of women, he never had these access to the being born of God, really, being born of you. And I just pray so much that we can take that to heart, that we can really appreciate the things that you've laid out for us, so we can spiritually look at those things, spiritual words, and appraise them properly and really lift you up in the most holy way. And I pray that we have a great rest of the week and that we bring honor and glory to you. It's your son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.